I think one of my big disappointments is that Tom Luganville, I don't think is going to be at the SEC, but he will be at the ACC. He's on the line with us right now, ESPN's Tom Luganville. Tom, welcome to the show. It's been too long. How you doing, my friend?
It has been, guys. I am doing terrific, and I hope you guys are doing good as well.
So you're just going to ACC?
Yeah, I've got ACC media days, and really the reason why, and I'm not supposed to talk too much about it, but I will be having a role with the network as part of my new contract. So they're doing some announcements and things of that nature at the ACC media days that I've got to be there for.
Are you also going to be calling games on the SEC TV network again?
No, I will just be calling games on ABC and ESPN. Myself, Dave Pasch, and Greg McElroy will be back together. It'll be, let's see, me and Dave's seventh year together. Greg joined us. He'll be going on his fourth year with us, and we'll be calling noon and 3:30 ABC and ESPN games.
Wonderful. All right, well, a question that we've been throwing around and having fun with all week long. When you go to the ACC, will you be, let's say, curious if questions will be asked of Mack Brown, dating back to that story that came out this week that Tom Hicks said about trying to get Nick Saban to come down there, but Mack Brown steadfastly did not want to change his coaching position to allow Saban to come in? Do you think that'll be a big issue with him?
I don't think so. I don't think it'll turn into something unless people continue to try and turn it into something. You know, the one thing about Mack Brown, he's pretty good at dealing with the media, and he's pretty good at nipping things in the bud if he wants to. I really don't think that'll turn into anything that's noteworthy.
And I saw yesterday that Tim Brando, a football analyst such as yourself, came out with a not so much a brash prediction that Clemson would beat down Alabama in the championship game. Tom, how do you see this thing playing out? You'll be covering Clemson up there, although Trevor Lawrence will not be there. Are they the alpha team these days?
Well, they seem to have put themselves in position to be considered that. You know, they're the only team that's truly been able to not only compete with Alabama, but show that they can be superior to Alabama and show it more than once. And so, listen, there's no secret sauce here. They have built the program in the exact same mold that Nick Saban began to build the Alabama program, you know, going back, you know, over a decade now. I think the two similarities, and this is something, and you know, this is something that I really pay close attention to, not only in recruiting, but in college football as I make travels across the country, is what type of commitment is the university making to football? And when I say the university, I'm not talking about the athletic director and the athletic administration. I'm talking from the top down, the Board of Regents, the Board of Trustees, the president. If the university has decided that football is going to drive the bus and is going to invest in it, the mindset is that if football succeeds, everything else at the university succeeds. That new wing gets built on the library. All of a sudden, the faculty is really happy. They've got more money flooding in for grants, things of that nature. And in my estimation, there have been two programs that have decided to do that as a university, and that's been Alabama and that's been Clemson, and that's the reason why both schools are sitting where they are right now.
So, Tom, when you look at the ACC, obviously we start with Clemson. The obvious next question is, who can compete? Who can compete to knock them off that throne? Because right now it looks like it's Clemson and everybody else. Is it Miami?
No, I don't think it is. I think in the long term, it's likely to be Miami. In the short term, it's clearly Syracuse. If you look at the team that has competed, has actually beaten Clemson, has seemed to be the biggest thorn in their side, and who would have said 5 years ago, hey, who's the next best team behind Clemson in the ACC? Oh, well, it's Syracuse. What? Well, that's exactly what it's become right now. And I don't know if that's more of a reflection of the job that Dino Babers has done or an indictment on the conference top to bottom, because Miami and Florida State have woefully underachieved. Virginia Tech's trying to find their way and get back. We know North Carolina's taken a big dip. Dave Doran at NC State's done a wonderful job. I think he would be in the argument to say maybe one of the competitors to try and dethrone Clemson. But listen, regardless of where Syracuse is or where anybody else is, Clemson's just different than everybody else right now. It's just the way it is. And in that conference, you really need great quarterback play to try and overcome some of that. And I think, you know, we've seen a dip in quarterback play. We've seen it at Miami. We've seen it at Florida State. We've seen it at North Carolina. You know, we've seen it with teams that had guys that were first-round draft choices that aren't there now, and it's made an impact, a negative one, on their program because it's tough to compete with Clemson without one.
Tom Luginbill joining us. He's covering the ACC. QRC's with ESPN. Tom, I've been really trying to get you on for one particular reason. I read a quote, and again, I don't know if it was out of context or what. I'll let you talk about that, where you were quoted as saying, I believe, that Gus Malzahn may have his most talented team up there since he took over. Is that correct?
Not only is that correct, I believe it wholeheartedly. I think 1 through 44, they're too deep across the board, is the most talented 2-deep he has had since he got back as the head coach. But the end of that quote was followed by a but. But they also have, arguably, maybe next to Texas A&M, the most difficult schedule in all of college football. So what I fear if I'm an Auburn fan is that, hey, this is a really talented, good football team, but the pit stops along the way are going to be really, really difficult to overcome, especially when you look at their road contests.
So most, I guess, odds, Vegas odds, have the over-under at 8. Do they get over 8 wins this year, maybe?
Let me say this. If they do, I think it is a remarkable coaching job. That's how I would answer that question, because with that schedule and with their roster, maybe they are an 8-win team. If they're anything above, I think that those kids have, especially the younger ones, have played great, and the coaches have done a really, really good job. If it's under that, I quite honestly wouldn't be all that surprised, just because I think the schedule is so daunting, as I've mentioned. And, you know, let's not forget, you also open against Oregon out of the Pac-12 in week one.
So regardless of whether they go over or under the 8, based on what you said, would you say that Auburn is trending the right way then because of the talent on that roster and countering that with the strength of schedule? Is that program as a whole under Gus trending the right way?
I think so. I think you can look at them and say this is the best 2-deep defensive line in college football this year, at least going into the season. You've got really good, explosive playmakers on offense, and all of them played as true freshmen and now are experienced guys. I think that their quarterback depth, even without Jarrett Stidham, their depth of Bo Nix and Joey Gatewood, I just think that the group as a whole is better. And when the quarterback is a better athlete in that offense, the offense seems to run better. When that quarterback is part of the run game, that's when you've seen Auburn's best offenses. And I think Bo Nix and Joey Gatewood, whether a combination of the two, are going to provide that for him.
ESPN college football analyst Tom Luginbill joining us this morning. Tom, who's got the easier path to an undefeated season, Alabama or Clemson?
Alabama or Clemson, is that what you asked?
Yes, yes, sir.
Oh, the easier path, it's got to be Clemson. But with that comes some danger, because everybody's telling you that. And everybody's looking at the schedule and saying, well, there's nobody that's good enough to knock these guys off. And then all of a sudden the pressure mounts. And every game you go into, you're expected to win by 3 touchdowns. That's difficult to contend with. I think that's one of Dabo Sweeney's greatest challenges, is getting his team to meet an expectation, meet the standard they've set for themselves, and play their best each and every week. I actually think that's Nick Saban's greatest trait as a coach. Everybody thinks it's the process or recruiting or, you know, coaching on defense. I think what he's done a remarkable job of is when everybody's patting his kids on the back and telling them how good they are, those kids still play to a standard. And that's hard to do with 18 to 21-year-old kids. And I think that's going to be Dabo's greatest challenge this year. But I do think he's got the easier path.
Tom Luginbill, a former quarterback in his own right. So what happens with Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma? Does he follow in the footsteps of Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield?
I don't know if he'll have the same success in the passing game, because I don't believe he's the same naturally gifted passer as those two are. You know, you don't get drafted number one overall in the NFL draft if you're a subpar thrower or if you're a streaky passer. I think that Jalen Hurts will have a good season statistically. I think it will be strong. I think you'll see a significant portion of the run game being utilized in Lincoln Riley's offense with the quarterback, maybe even more than it was with Kyler Murray. But I'm curious to see what the downfield passing game is going to look like. Oklahoma was so dangerous the last 2 years in throws of 20, 30 yards or more that carried that far in the air? And can they get that same production out of Jalen Hurts? What I think is